Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Thursday, November the 13th, coming up. A Kent supermarket worker speaks out about abuse he suffered. Maidstone dad says his street is like a lorry Grand Prix. Find out why. And a former Kent student is up for a top TikTok award. But first, a hearing has been told how a 95-year-old man from Herne Bay stabbed his partner of 30 years while suffering from delirium just days after being discharged from hospital. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, can you tell us about what happened?
Well, Ernest Gray killed Margaret Day, who was 86, at their home in Broomfield Road in November 2023. On the day itself, he was found outside the property covered in blood and told a passerby, "I've murdered her." At an inquest, it's been revealed he'd been allowed home from the QEQM hospital in Margate just 3 days earlier. His family hadn't been made aware his delirium could cause aggression when they requested he came home. The hospital also made no effort to inform Ms. Day about the care her long-term partner required.
And the coroner's described it as terribly tragic.
That's right. Patricia Harding was told Ms. Day had suffered 50 stab wounds and was discovered in the kitchen. She also had blunt force trauma injuries to the back of her head, thought to have been caused by a walking stick or frame. The hearing was also told how Mr. Gray passed away in hospital 6 days later. He'd been taken to the William Harvey in Ashford and was found to have pneumonia, which didn't respond to antibiotics.
And have we heard from hospital staff, Lucy?
Yes, a medical director at the QEQM has said it was reasonable but maybe not wise to have discharged Mr. Gray when they did. He went on to say there wasn't anything that could have predicted what happened. Margaret Day's cause of death was given as shock and hemorrhage from stab wounds to the neck, and the coroner recorded a narrative conclusion. She also confirmed she'll be issuing a prevention of future deaths report to East Kent Hospital's University Foundation Trust, which runs the QEQM. It'll have 56 days to respond.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and an investigation's underway after a man was seriously injured in a crash on the M20 near Maidstone. Three vehicles were involved in a collision on the coastbound stretch late last night. The man was taken to a London hospital by air ambulance. The motorway has now reopened. A five-year-old boy has died after a wall collapsed at an adventure golf course near Swanley. He was flown to hospital after it happened at Sidcup Family Golf off the A20 on Sunday evening and passed away on Monday. A six-year-old girl who was also injured has been discharged. Police are working with health and safety inspectors. Next on today's episode, we've been hearing from a Kent supermarket worker as a new survey shows more than 70% have suffered verbal abuse. Retail trade union Usdaw say nearly 50% of workers meantime have been threatened and 9% have actually been assaulted. Well, bosses are raising awareness and urging respect, especially as we head into the very busy Christmas period. Roger, who asked us not to reveal his surname, works at a supermarket in the county and has shared what's happened to him.
I have experienced verbal abuse, some racist abuse aimed towards me, similar for my colleagues, but I've seen them receive physical abuse, tugging of uniform, barging of trolleys into colleagues, that type of behaviour. And it's been accelerating since probably COVID, which was very a stressful time, but it seems to have continued right up to date. And also with the threshold on shoplifting too as well, that's made our life very difficult, and it presents daily challenges. The limit is £200. The threshold is £200 before we can get a police officer out or someone to respond to it. So customers now know that generally, not just what we call the thieves, but the general public know that now. So they're now coming in as well now and actually just stealing right in front of us and blatantly, you know, getting away with it.
And does that make you feel that it's sort of your responsibility? The police aren't coming to back you up, so it sort of falls to you guys to enforce this idea of not shoplifting?
Well, yes and no, because we can't. We do have some security. There is security at some of the stores, but obviously they're limited and we're limited in what response we can put out. You know, we can't engage with shoplifters for our own safety. There are policies in the workplace that means you arrive to work safely and you get home from work safely. So we can't really challenge, which makes it very very makes it much more frustrating for us to witness. There are fewer officers on the streets, so retail crime is probably at the bottom of their list or near the bottom of their list. So it just makes it very, very difficult for anything to be done. What needs to be done is some government intervention. There needs to be some signs out there that it's not okay to steal, and there'll be a consequence. The government need to get a grip on this by introducing new laws to get rid of this £200 threshold. Put in a law that it's not right, that it will be a crime to physically or verbally abuse a retail worker in their place of work or any other worker in their place of work. That's what needs to happen.
So what would you ask people to remember, not just at Christmas, but at any time, if they're going to go into a shop and they're feeling a bit aggravated, what would you ask them to remember when they're shopping?
I would ask them to remember that this is our place of work. Imagine if we flip this over and we came into your place of work and we behaved the way customers do sometimes, and how you would view that. If you're having a bad day and you come into the store, you know, come in with a smile. We're here to help and to serve you. You know, we're not going to make your day any worse. In fact, we may brighten your day up if you have the right attitude and the right approach towards us. It's just about being nice. It's such a simple thing. It's not difficult. You know, if you went into I don't know. We tend to look at shop workers as doormats, and we're not doormats, you know. And just be treat us like how you want to be treated. It's just as simple as that.
Do you think it's a lack of respect as well? People just come in and feel that they can be disrespectful.
There's a massive lack of respect because they think, you know, people re working in retail is not a real job. You know, you often hear people say, oh, you know, go and get a real job. You know, you're working in retail, you're stacking shelves. And it's not about that. People think that you just put the can on the shelf, but there's so much more to get in a store ready and put in a product on the shelf than just putting it on the shelf. You know, so it is a real job. You know, it's a very important job because it serves the public. So the public should respect that and understand that.
Kent Online reports.
A Kent police officer from Dover has been banned from serving for any force in the country after threatening to carry out a sex attack on a colleague. The constable, who can't be named, also used racist language while sending the messages through Snapchat. He's been placed on a barred list. A misconduct hearing also found he would have been sacked if he'd still been serving. A week after armed police were called to flats in Ashford, a man's appearing court. Officers were sent to reports of an assault and people carrying weapons in Brookfield Road last Wednesday. Two men were detained. A 21-year-old from the town has now been charged with possession of a bladed article in a public place. A person's been treated by paramedics after breathing in smoke during a fire near Whitstable. A garage caught alight at the Ridings in Chesterfield yesterday evening. Four fire engines were sent to put out the flames. It's unclear at the moment how it started. Now, there are calls for urgent action from tech companies as figures today show a rise in online grooming crimes in Kent. The NSPCC say cases have reached a record high, with 298 recorded in the county last year. Across the UK, 80% of the children targeted are girls. The youngest victim was a four-year-old boy. Well, Kate's been chatting to Lewis Keller, who's a senior online safety officer at the NSPCC.
We know that online child sexual abuse can have a major long-term effects on a child, leading to feelings of shame and guilt. And unfortunately, the cases recorded will only represent a fraction of the total number of cases, because often children don't report cases of online grooming. And also platforms sort of use features like end-to-end encryption, which means that they're blinded from a lot of the content that's shared on platforms. So that's why we've released a new report today, which outlines some of the ways in which private messaging services in particular can keep children safe. And it's really important that the biggest platforms are rolling out new innovative ways of protecting children, especially in private messaging spaces where a lot of harms like grooming are taking place.
And I saw in the press release that some of the platforms, some of the top offenders, I suppose, were really common messaging platforms, you know, through WhatsApp and Facebook or things like that. Really common social media apps that, you know, I think every family has.
Yeah, definitely. So the data shows that platforms like Snapchat and WhatsApp are among the platforms with the highest numbers of cases. And what we often see is some of the functionalities on those sites make it too easy for adult perpetrators to contact children in the first place. And things like disappearing messages on Snapchat, for example, sort of give children a false sense of security and might share explicit images, which may be used later to kind of exploit or groom or blackmail them. So that's why it's so important that platforms aren't kind of treating safety as an afterthought and making sure that in any kind of product or service that they roll out, that children's safety is at the forefront.
Now, the conversation, I suppose, about keeping children safe online is not new. You know, it's been raging for a very long time. Are we hoping that seeing figures like this, seeing that online grooming cases are increasing, it might act as a sort of a wake-up call to parents and to the government and to those major tech companies that actually they're not dealing with the problem at all and it is in fact getting worse?
Yeah, definitely. And so, you know, for example, the Online Safety Act, which was a major piece of legislation, has come into force this year. The problem that we see in private messaging spaces is that actually a lot of the new rules that are coming into place are specific to public platforms. So, you know, your social media platforms will use proactive technology to detect child sexual abuse. That's not the case in private messaging services, where we know a lot of cases like grooming take place at the moment. And that's why it's so important that Ofcom, the government, and the platforms themselves are doing more to keep children safe in these settings, and doing everything they can to make sure that sort of safety isn't viewed as an afterthought.
Kent Online reports.
Drivers are complaining about major traffic issues due to roadworks in Sittingbourne. Closures are in force at the Grovehurst and Key Street roundabouts at the moment, leading to long queues during rush hour. Chalkwell coaches say they've had to send out extra buses to cope with the delays. We've asked Kent County Council for a response. The Met Police detective who led the investigation into the murder of Sarah Everard has been awarded the King's Police Medal. 33-year-old Sarah was killed by then-serving Met officer Wayne Cousins from Deal in 2021. Her body was later found in woodland near Ashford. Detective Superintendent Catherine Goodwin says receiving the honour is a humbling experience. Now, a Sittingbourne woman who was told she was too young to have breast cancer has created a bucket list after being told the disease is now terminal. Shanice Bennett from Sittingbourne was diagnosed when she was just 23. 3 years later, the cancer has spread to her bones, lungs and liver. She's now on a mission to do as much as she can and has already taken her nephew to Disneyland Paris and visited New York. She's sharing her progress with her thousands of followers on TikTok.
I have stage 4 cancer and one goal in my whole entire life is just to make it to the Sunrise on the Reaping and get to watch it next year in November. I have stage 4 incurable cancer and I got the news today that some of my tumours are shrunk. But unfortunately, I know that at some point that's not going to be the case. And for me to make it to next year will be such a big, big thing. So if everyone could tag Lionsgate or The Hunger Games in this post to see if we can make something happen or, I don't know, give me an early screening when it comes out, I would be so, so forever thankful. Or even make an appearance on the set. I don't know. But yeah, if you could just do that, that would literally mean the world to me. I'm also going to the Hunger Games show tomorrow to celebrate my good scan results.
Shanice also wants to go to Switzerland, visit Tokyo and watch Ariana Grande in concert.
Kent Online News.
Several new councillors have been chosen to be part of the governing authority for Kent's fire service. Reform UK bosses at the county council have faced criticism after key members were removed from the group following a leaked video of a heated council meeting. Well, there were concerns it could put public safety at risk as the authority is responsible for the provision of fire and rescue services. We're told a thorough interview interview process was carried out to select the most suitable new members. Plans have been revealed for almost 300 homes on a golf course in Hythe. The company that owns the site on the seafront say the 18-hole course is currently underutilised. They're planning to invest £120 million on building houses and apartments, along with a 9-hole course and adventure golf. Money would also be spent on creating more rooms at the Hythe Imperial Hotel next door. Elsewhere, a derelict hotel off the A2 in Gravesend is going to be turned into a new petrol station and M&S food store. The tollgate building closed in 2006 when the road was widened and has since fallen into disrepair. Plans by BP to spend £10 million redeveloping the site have now been given the go-ahead. Next, and a Maidstone dad says his street is like a lorry Formula One, with HGVs constantly breaking a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit. Luke Knightley-Jones moved to a house in Heath Road in Wharton-on-Chelsea in August. The 35-year-old says the speeding lorries are enough to rattle the foundations of his home. In the last month, the community speed watch there has reported 86 incidents of speeding to the police, while in the last year, there have been more than 600 reports. Well, Luke is calling for better enforcement and has been speaking to our reporter, Ellie Hodgson.
It's a bit like a lorry Formula One come about 10 o'clock at night. The speed at which the lorries go past here is literally quick enough to shake the foundations of our house on numerous times, particularly midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. My two-year-old baby's been shaken by the speed of the lorries. Woken up to the point that, you know, she thinks there's a monster, which you've had to explain is it's not a monster, it's just the Gruffalo outside. But yeah, it's a serious perpetual problem that we suffer every night, all hours.
I know you've collected some data on it. Can you describe what you saw when you went out last night?
Yeah, one of the issues we faced very early on is the idea that it's subjective and they're not speeding and it's all in my head and the neighbours are just busybodies that are bored and it's not affecting you know, our quality of life and quiet enjoyment of our home. So the one thing I wanted to do is move it away from the subjective realm into the objective realm. So I used some professional recording equipment. I was kindly provided with a professional grade police speed gun, and basically sat out for 45 minutes yesterday with the camera rolling, time stamped, just using the speedometer to collect some hard empirical data that could obviously inform this debate and move it from one of subjectivity into objective reality.
What would be the ideal solution?
In a perfect world, somebody would take ownership of this, whether this is the MP, whether it's the police, whether it's Kent County Council, and just take measures to either enforce the speed limit or mitigate the effects of the traffic, which is obviously the lorry traffic, which is obviously causing not only a nuisance to myself and other residents on the road, but also has very obvious safety concerns.
Now, we have been in contact with roads bosses and they've told us they'll continue to monitor the situation on Heath Road. They've previously looked at installing speed indicator devices, but they've told us there are power supply issues in the area. Similarly, they can't install traffic calming measures either, as they need to be lit.
Kent Online reports.
Rochester Cathedral has been granted £10,000 worth of funding to unveil secret gardens to the public. The money will be used to reveal an original gateway, which was filled in during the early 1800s, to section off some of the grounds once cared for by monks. The gardens themselves will be transformed into a place of reflection. Kent's biggest shopping centre's getting a bit of a rebrand ahead of the new Zootropolis movie. The horse in Bluewater's iconic logo has been reimagined as a character from the film. It'll also be known for a short time as Zoowater. Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde will be back in cinemas at the end of the month. And finally, a former student at the University of Kent has been shortlisted for a prestigious TikTok award. Joy Anagwuru covers all things entertainment, celebrity news and trending topics in her viral videos with her 45,000 followers. The 27-year-old has now been nominated as TikTok Creator Rising Star and has been speaking to Ellie Hodgson.
In my kind of career in media, I've always had a YouTube channel. I've always been creating content, showing people the behind the scenes of what it's like to just work in the media, especially as a young black girl. Like, I always wanted to show young people, especially people of colour, that this is what you can do in the media, this is what happens behind the scenes. And in showing my work, my following kind of grew. Like, this is what I got up to in the day. Like, I'd be interviewing Austin Butler one day, Timothy Chalamet the next, like, whoever it was, I was kind of always showing what I was doing. And so that's how I've kind of guided my audience that way, and reposting my interviews and kind of saying, okay, this is what I did at work, this was the interview. That's how I kind of grew my brand. But then kind of when I became to understand kind of how content is consumed and how you can kind of go viral off, I don't know, scenarios or talking about trending topics, that's when I kind of took it more seriously and just started doing it full time.
Amazing. And obviously I've had a look at your TikTok, and you've got a really big following. If for someone that doesn't know, what is your content all about?
So my content is all things entertainment. So I cover celebrity news, whether that's breaking the news or just talking about trending topics, in entertainment, in film, in TV, in the world. It could be Apple launching their new iPhone 17 and my thoughts on that. So yeah, I just do all things pop culture commentary. And yeah, that's what I do full time.
And I see you've interviewed some really big names. What are some of the highlights so far, would you say?
It's crazy because when you're doing it, you don't realize, oh my God, this is like a superstar. Like, I've done Margot Robbie, I've done Colin Farrell, I've done Viola Davis, like, done The Rock, like, Jennifer Lopez. Like, you just do so many that they just kind of all blend into one. I think the highlight is just finding out, like, they're just people, and they're just people that you can, like, literally get down with and have, like, a normal conversation with. So, yeah, I think it's just not just having the conversation, but curating those, like, viral moments off the back of that. So, and just having a good chat and just creating content. Yeah, creating fun content for the fans to consume. So I think that's been the highlight.
And obviously now you've been announced as a finalist for TikTok Creator Rising Star. Talk to me about the awards. How does that feel? What does this mean to you?
Oh my God, it's crazy. It's so crazy because when I quit doing full-time kind of work last year with the hopes to kind of launch my own channel and scale it, I always did think, oh my God, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna achieve something. And then to actually like see see it come to light and see it kind of the fruition, is that word? Fruition of my labor, and to be recognized by TikTok in this way, like there's hundreds of creators, like if not thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of creators in the UK, and to kind of see like my labor of love kind of come to light and be nominated, it means so much. And sometimes when you create like and things do well, like you're happy as well, and when things don't do well, you're like, ah, is there no one watching me, is there no one seeing me? But it's the awards are kind of like, wow, like someone's seeing me, you know.
Good luck to Joy. The award winners will be announced today. Well, that's all from us. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can of course follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Don't forget, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the site today, you can also read our latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.